Welcome back to the Last Week Liquid podcast, the show all about the world of drum and bass. This week, I bring you my discussion with myself. As you've probably guessed from the title, I'm going for something a bit different this week. Episode 30, I thought I'd switch things up a bit and break the monotony of having a guest every week since mid-September now. Every week, I've done an episode with a different guest. And so I thought it'd be nice for you guys who follow the podcast to have a bit of a change of pace, something a bit different. And also for me, I have to admit, just to try something new, try to do an episode just by myself, a bit of self-reflection, and yeah, basically see if I can manage to do a whole episode just myself speaking, basically. So it's also a bit of a challenge for myself. But so what I wanted to do here was kind of explore the common themes that I've seen come through the different episodes that I had so far. Yeah, topics that have come up with different guests, things that come back again and again. I thought I'd try to summarize a bit of those learnings that I went through through those 30 plus guests that I have had, and also a bit of my learnings starting this podcast, a bit of my journey, what I've learned doing this podcast so far. So obviously, I don't consider myself either an accomplished producer or an accomplished podcaster. I'm very far from either of those two. So this is just really either me messaging what I've learned from different guests so far, and just me reflecting on things that I've learned personally. Obviously, this is in no way me saying what you should be doing or me kind of sharing my expert knowledge on anything. I hope it doesn't come across that way. It's just really me sharing what I've learned so far on this short journey I've been on. So if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, whatever, there's also a video format for this episode on my YouTube channel. So you can go and check that out if you want to see something a bit different. If you're already on YouTube here, hi. The podcast is always on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts. And sometimes I put episodes out on YouTube, but that's not a regular thing. So yeah, before we kick off, make sure you join the Facebook group at Last Week Liquid Podcast Community. That's where all the interactions happen with listeners of the podcast. Further in this episode, I'll be answering a few questions from the community. So it's just a great place to interact with the podcast, make suggestions for future guests, future topics, etc. And yeah, so that's Last Week Liquid Podcast Community on Facebook. Make sure you subscribe, notifications, share the podcast with people you think might enjoy it, etc., etc., blah, 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 blah. You can follow me everywhere on Mill Street DNB. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything. Not TikTok yet. And at Last Week Liquid on Instagram as well, if you want to follow this podcast specifically. At Last Week Liquid on Instagram. So without further ado, let's dive into the episode. So as I've mentioned in the intro, I've tried to group these into a few learnings or let's say themes of things that have come up again and again in the podcast, which I thought would be nice to summarize in one episode. And so the first one I want to talk about is the importance of focus. So when you're producing, there's a lot of things that you can do on top of just releasing your tracks. You can do track breakdowns, you can do tutorials, you can do guest mixes on other people's channels, you can do live streams where you're producing and live streaming and interacting with people. There's a lot of different things that you can do. You can do sample packs. It's important to try different things, but what is most important and what I've learned so far is to focus on one specific area and really double down on that thing that you want to do, because the risk when you're trying to do different things is to be just too scattered. Whereas if you focus on just one thing, well, first you get known for that one thing and also you get better at it. So some examples that come to mind are, for example, Alpha Rhythm. He produces, he's starting to release on some really big labels such as Hospital. He does mixes, for example, I believe it's every week, and he's at mix 280 or something at this point. He has guests on who do guest mixes for him. And he's, I I believe, really well known because of those mixes. And that's something he really dived into. Other people do live streams. I know, for example, Haymack, also an American producer, does live streams, I believe, every week as well. So again, I think it's important to choose that one thing that's maybe gonna separate you from other people and really double down. And so yeah, the key thing here is that just releasing music in general is not enough if you want to get your music heard. That's just one of the harsh realities of making music, is that if you just put your music out there and don't do anything on the side, it's going to be very hard for your music to get to as many listeners as possible. Now, some people choose to really just do music, but then they really double down on music and produce a ton of music, and it works out for them. I'm thinking, for example, of Henry. Henry doesn't do that many mixes. He doesn't do live streams. He doesn't do tutorials, none of that. But he puts out so much music that I feel that compensates for the other areas, basically. Basically, find that one thing that you want to do where you feel you might have an edge. If it's video format, audio format, sound design, whatever, and really double down on that area and try to get known for that specific thing. So the second thing I want to talk about that came up quite often in past episodes is just try things. It's a bit cliche, but until you actually try new things, you're never going to know what actually sticks with people. And this really links to the previous point I was making. You want to try different things. Maybe try one tutorial, try one track breakdown, try releasing one sample pack. And yeah, just see what sticks with people. Where do people resonate? And that might tell you first what people want, but also what you might naturally be good at. So maybe you might not be the best at doing a track breakdown of one of your releases. But when you release a sample pack, people really resonate with it because it's just well-crafted, great sounds, etc. You need to try different things at first to be able to identify what is successful. And as often, you never know what's going to be successful unless you try. So that's kind of a cliche thing to say, but it's something I've heard guests say again and again. You just have to try different things, and that applies also to the type of music you're producing. If you're just producing liquid, try producing something a bit more, I don't know, jazzy, a bit more dance floor oriented, a bit deeper. Try different things and you'll see what sticks with people and also what you enjoy doing. So the third thing I want to talk about is imposter syndrome. So this is a huge topic, and honestly, it's not one I thought would come up that often in the podcast, because the people I've had on are usually people that I really look up to. It's people that I am a fan of to start with. And so to hear them say very often that they have imposter syndrome, for me, felt like completely absurd. But it's something I've realized that even what I would consider very accomplished producers releasing on very established labels, they still feel imposter syndrome all the time. Not everybody, but some do still feel it quite a lot. And so for those maybe who haven't heard the term before, but imposter syndrome is basically feeling like you're not in your right place, so to speak. Like you're getting maybe a lot of praise, but you don't feel like you deserve it in some sense. You feel like an imposter in the scene you're operating with because you don't feel you have the same level as other people you might look up to. So that's imposter syndrome. And what I've come to realize through speaking with 30 plus guests at this point is that everybody feels it at some stage, and everybody tends to feel it wherever you are on the spectrum of quote unquote, these are the biggest quote unquote I've ever done, but on the scale of success in whatever industry you're active in. Because the truth of the matter is, there's always going to be people who are more advanced than you are in terms of just experience, in terms of raw skills, in terms of practice, in terms of, again, quote unquote, success, whether that be streams or fan base or whatever. And there's also going to be always people with less experience than you, less skills, less knowledge, smaller fan base, etc. There's always people above you. There's always people below you, quote unquote. And so what I've come to understand is that it's quite pointless and quite actually detrimental to just be comparing yourself to people who are in your mind above you, if you're not looking also at all the people just in general that produce music, for example, and that might not have the same level of accomplishment. I don't know if my point is coming across in the best way possible. It's very clear in my mind, but what I'm basically trying to say is that it's not black and white in terms of people who've made it and people who haven't made it. We tend to consider ourselves, at least artists, as, oh, I haven't made it yet because there's bigger artists and more accomplished artists, etc. Whereas in reality, it's not as simple as that. It's not just those who've made it, those who haven't made it. It's a whole spectrum from the person who's never touched any instrument or DAW or hasn't done anything in music all the way up to the Beatles, for example. It's a spectrum from there to there. It isn't like just the people who haven't made it and the people who've made it. I feel I'm kind of repeating myself at this point, but it's something I really want to drive home because for me it was a huge learning speaking to people like Elliot Telomic, who would be one producer I massively look up to in terms of his music and his releases. And he says he still very much compares his sound and his production level to other people, which to me I found completely insane. Somebody else like Echo Brown, for example, Colby, he's released one of my favorite EPs this year on the North Quarter, and he still feels imposter syndrome when he gets feedback, when he's among other DJs, other producers. He still feels that imposter syndrome, which to me again is insane because I feel he's so accomplished in terms of his sound and what he's achieved. With that EP specifically. So yeah, it's a scale. Stop comparing yourself only to people you feel are more accomplished. If you're not also looking back at the journey and the progress you've already made to get to that point. So number four is very linked to what I've just talked about, and it's do look back. There is this very famous quote that everybody throws around on social media, wherever, and it's don't look back. You don't look back at the past, look at the future, look forward, etc. That definitely has some merit. But what I've learned is the importance of looking back, and more specifically, looking back at your achievements. As producers, musicians, we're always focused on what's coming next. What's my next release? What's my next gig? What's the next label I want to sign with, next event I want to play at, etc. And I feel we rarely take the time to actually look back a few months, 6 months, 1 year, and really look at the accomplishments that we've made so far, milestones that we had set for ourselves and that we've actually reached. I think this point really came across for me when I spoke with Silly, episode 8, I believe, of the podcast. And for those who've listened to it, you know what I'm talking about. But he basically explained to me that he takes screenshots of feedback that he gets from people, of specific accomplishments that he's had so far. He takes screenshots, prints them, and then puts them on the wall behind his screen. So that's when he's producing, he actually is constantly reminded of what he's already accomplished in the past and feedback he's received in the past on various tracks and projects. For me, that really hit home because I know I'm one to always look at what's coming next, and I don't allocate enough time to look back at what I've already achieved. And so yeah, it's something I'm trying to do more today, just to remind me of, yeah, what I've already achieved. And I think it's really important. One example is the podcast, for example. When I started the podcast, I didn't have any episodes on Spotify, and then when I started I had 1-2 episodes, and I thought to myself back then, wouldn't it be great when I'll have actually 20-30 episodes listed in Spotify. It's gonna look great. There's gonna be these this whole range of episodes and different guests I've spoken to. For when I'm pitching to new artists to come on the podcast, they're gonna be able to look at all these past episodes that I've already done. And now I've actually achieved that, because now when I go on Spotify, there is those 30 episodes on there that I can scroll through. And so that's something I try to do now from time to time. I just go on Spotify and I just scroll through the episodes that I've already put out, and I just think to myself, well, okay, it's pretty cool. Same for SoundCloud or the music I release. There's not a lot out yet, but I do try to take a bit of time every now and again, just go on SoundCloud and look through the music I've already put out and just remind myself of the time when I hadn't had any music out at all, and just put myself in those shoes and just realize, wow, I've already put out this much music. That's quite an accomplishment already. So I'm definitely waffling a lot here, but it's a point I really hold dear. And I think it's something everybody can put into practice, the importance of looking back at what you've already achieved. So number five, feedback is a fine line. What I mean by that is that it's super important to ask feedback on your music before you release it. But it's also a fine line between taking into account the feedback you receive and what you believe the track can become or what it can represent. One very clear example I have of this was when I was speaking with Elliot Telomic, and he told me that I believe it was Window Light, off his latest EP, the title track. The first feedback he got from it was that it basically wasn't any good. There wasn't any hook. It wasn't great. But he felt, at least from my memories, I'm hoping I'm getting this right, but he felt the track did have something behind it, and he kept working on it and pitching it to labels, and it ended up on Liquidity. Another example, nothing to do with drum and bass, but for example, Insomnia, the track from Faithless, which I'm sure everybody knows at this stage. The first time they actually pitched the track to Radio 1, they got turned down, and BBC Radio 1 told them that the track didn't have any hook, it didn't have any clear chorus, and basically it wasn't any good. And that's Insomnia by Faithless, one of the most iconic dance tracks of at least my generation. And so what I mean by feedback is a fine line is that, yes, it is important, especially when you're an up-and-coming producer, it is important to ask for feedback on your tracks, because if you're releasing every single track as a free download, then you're not really getting that constructive feedback from labels, from peers, as to if your tracks are quote unquote good enough. So it is important to send tracks to labels and get their feedback on your productions. But at the same time, if you're getting turned down by labels, but you feel like your track really does have something, like it really resonates with you for whatever reason, then it's worth pushing through and really trying to find the label that will accept it, or maybe eventually releasing it as a free download. So there's no obviously clear answer or cutoff here. So if you do get turned down by labels on a specific track, it doesn't mean that it's complete garbage. So there is that fine line to kind of walk between asking for feedback, but also believing in yourself. All right, we're probably halfway through the episode now. I'm not too sure. So yeah, let me know in the comments how well I'm doing so far. This is really a first for me, like just speaking to the camera and trying to do an episode just by myself. So yeah, just to break the monotony again, I'm going to head to a few questions now that I got from the community in our Facebook group, Last Week Liquid Podcast Community. And just see what came up. So first question was from Toby Colossus, asking, what do you think is the most valuable piece of advice you've picked up during the 30 episodes? If that's too tough, which of course it will be, what is your top three? Actually, it's very production oriented, but one of the best advices I got was from Hirath. I forget which episode it was, but you can look back. And he was telling me it's very important not to compare your tracks too early on to other tracks, which is something I used to do consistently. When I was just sketching a basic ID, I already had a reference track in my project. And what ended up happening was I would compare my sketch way too much to the other track, to the reference track, and then obviously get demoralized because my sketch sounded like crap compared to the finished product, which in hindsight completely makes sense. And it was kind of stupid to do. But that's like one tip I really picked up on was, don't compare your sketches too early. Really try and write a complete ID, a complete track before actually referencing it to somebody else. Chris asks, why Liquid D&B? Does it help making music, knowing music theory? How long does it take to make a track? Are there moments where... Okay, a lot of questions here from Chris. Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate it. So I'll take them one by one. Why Liquid drum and bass? Honestly, I don't know, because I've loved a lot of different styles of electronic music. I think I was just... when I started producing more seriously, Liquid drum and bass was... or just drum and bass in general was the genre that appealed to me the most. And artists like, obviously Netsky back in the day, but then Henry, Talamic, and the likes were artists I was really listening to a lot when I got more into production. And so it was just a natural thing to focus on that type of music because that's what I wanted to make. Does it help making music, knowing music theory? Yes, absolutely. Guests I spoke to, such as Andromedic, for example, he studied jazz piano. It helped him a lot. But every guest that has studied music theory has told me is that it's not vital. Yes, it does help, but it's not vital to have done music theory when you were a kid to actually produce music. So that's super important to remember if you haven't done music theory. How long does it take to make a track? I'm not a fast producer. I know some people write a track in a day or two. To actually get a track finished, not even to mix it down, for me usually takes at least 2-3 weeks, but that's just me. I should probably get faster at it, but that's how I work. Moments where you just give up on a track. Yes, plenty of times. Plenty of times I just give up on a track. But what I tend to do then is that if the track just doesn't sound great, I'll try to identify that just one piece that does work in the track. It could be just the bass line. It could just be a vocal hook. I'll just re-export that and rebuild a new track based on that one thing that actually worked. So in that sense, I'm maybe not abandoning the track. I'm just rebuilding from one tiny element that kind of worked. So when you know a track is done, you don't. You just decide that it's done and you send it off. A track can be tweaked forever. It's something I spoke a lot about with Farflow, Wolf and Raf. They told me that it was really good for them to have deadlines with Focus recordings, because it helped them just finish tracks a lot faster. A track can be tweaked forever. And so unless you decide, okay, by this point, it's going to be finished. Now it's done. I send it off. Then it can go on forever and ever. Who would you love to do a collab with? Everybody? Anybody? At this point, I'm starting to do a few more collabs. And there's one that I've done with somebody who's been on the podcast and somebody I really look up to. Fingers crossed that track will be coming out at some point this year. But that's the track I'm really happy with. And it was, yeah, somebody I really look up to. Can't say too much now, but yeah, otherwise Imperio, Talamic, those kind of producers, one day maybe, who knows. Okay, Joe, speaking of Imperio, Joe asks, what has been the most challenging aspect of starting up a podcast from scratch, do you think? On the flip side, what has been the most enjoyable and rewarding part of it for you too? Most challenging aspect, I would definitely say starting from scratch, starting from zero. So when I started the podcast back in September, I didn't have any fan base to speak of. I didn't have any following within drum and bass or anything. And so to actually get the podcast out and get people who are interested in drum and bass and in the guests that I was having on the podcast, that was definitely challenging. Because again, I was starting from scratch. But it's also something rewarding, because when you get to people... 200, 300, 400 people tuning in every week to listen to your episode, and you started from literally zero, that's really rewarding. So I guess that would be one of the most challenging aspects at the start. One of the most rewarding, well, yeah, the one I just mentioned. It's a bit cliche, but just the relationships I built doing the podcast. It turned out to be the best networking tool, so to speak. And I've met so many great people through the podcast, so many nice people. I won't shout out anybody because I don't want to leave out anybody here. But there's a lot of people I've met where I really connected with them, and people I still speak on a regular basis now after they've come on my podcast. That's something that would have never really happened if I hadn't started this journey, so to speak. And that's been hugely rewarding. Similarly, just having people reach out to me and saying, oh, I really enjoyed this episode with Willem, this episode with Milinki, I thought was really nice. Whatever, people resharing episodes and seeing that small community slowly growing, that's been hugely, hugely rewarding as well. Simone asks, how did your life, i.e. work-life balance, change since music became more and more important, i.e. since you started recording the podcast? P.S. Keep it up. Thank you, Simone. So yeah, when I started the podcast, definitely it took a lot more time from my plate than I was expecting. Because you can imagine reaching out to people, recording episodes, producing the episodes, and then pushing them out and doing all the marketing on a weekly basis takes up a lot of time. So I guess the biggest impact it had was that I started producing less music. And that's just something I had to accept. I couldn't keep producing music every day, every weekend, and do an episode of the podcast every week. That just wouldn't work, or else other things would have to suffer, such as friends and family, etc., which I wasn't ready to sacrifice. So yeah, I had to make a conscious decision of just producing less music, which, yeah, I was fine with, because I really believed in the podcast, so to speak, and it's something I really wanted to put a lot of effort behind. So I'd say that was the biggest shift in terms of work-life balance. Cool. I did get a lot of questions, so really appreciate it. I promised I would go through all of them, so I'm just going to try and speed this up a bit. Shaki asks, what were main learnings from previous episodes? So I think I mentioned that previously. Interesting patterns, common themes. That's the whole point of this episode. what would you do differently as a starting artist, knowing the content of the 30 episodes? That's a great question, actually. I think I would try to, as an artist, I would try to enjoy more music production. When I started producing, I took it very seriously from the start. Like, okay, this is serious. I need to release at a regular schedule. I need to pitch the labels. I need to learn this and that. And I kind of, at the start at least, even a bit now, I lost a bit focus of what's really important, and that's actually having fun while you're producing music, because that's the whole point. Yeah, I guess that's something I would do differently now, having spoken to so many people and having heard that it's important to enjoy what you're doing. It's something I would try to focus on more as I started producing. Shaki again says, I'm a geek, so I would start asking people what they use, what DAW, favorite sample pack, favorite plugin. That's a great, great suggestion. And it's something I'm really looking for. If you guys have any ideas, suggestions on topics I should tackle on the podcast, at any time, feel free to send me a message, come on the Facebook group, whatever medium you prefer. So it's great to hear that. If that's something you are interested in, I know I tend to focus a bit more on the mindset aspect, let's say, of music production, but yeah, I can definitely go more into technicalities, so to speak, sample packs, DAWs, plugins, etc. I'd love to. Elliot Talamic asks, why do snares never sound how I want them to? That's really insulting, Elliot. especially how much I look up to your music. Your snares sound amazing. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Yaroon, aka Tosti, asks, not really a question, more a topic I'm struggling with. How do you go about identifying your sonic identity as an artist? Ooh, that's a deep one, sonic identity. From what I've learned, again, just learning from and speaking for the guests I've had on the podcast so far and what they've told me, usually you don't choose a sonic identity from the start. That's very rare. Usually what happens is just that you produce and you produce and you produce and you release and you release. And after several months, several years, usually you tend to then find what your sonic identity is, or just the sound you're known for. And there's really no shortcut in finding your own sound. It really comes down to producing a lot of music and experimenting a lot also with different styles within what you produce, because in that way you'll find what you enjoy doing, and you'll also find what resonates with people. I think both are important, but there's no shortcut. It's just producing a lot of music, basically. R2 asks, what are your main goals and aspirations as a music producer? Don't have that many, actually. again, just because the podcast has taken a bit more priority versus music production? I'd say short term is just continue to learn new techniques, get better at what I'm doing, because I still consider myself very much a beginner producer. So yeah, there's a few labels I'd love to release with at some point when my music is ready. So those would be short-term goals. Long-term goals, I've mentioned this in the past, but like just playing at Liquicity, for example, would be a huge goal of mine, but very long-term, obviously. And I think this ties actually really well back to one last point I wanted to make regarding my learnings and things that have come up through speaking with all the guests so far, is keep in mind what you're chasing. What I mean by that is that in music production, drum and bass, music, whatever, everybody has different goals. Okay, we're all making music, that's true, but we don't all have the same goals. For some people, it's a full-time job. For some people, it's just a side income on top of a main job. For some people, it's not even an income. It's just a hobby. It's their main hobby. For some other people, it's just a side hobby. Music can be a ton of different things to different people. And I think it's really important to know why you're doing music and what your goal is, really. Because what I found out is that if you don't have that clear goal in your mind, you're gonna end up comparing yourself to other people who have different goals and then being disappointed because you're not achieving those goals. So it's a bit, I don't know if that's like super clear, but what I mean is that, for example, what I just mentioned previously, one of my long-term goals would be to play at Liquicity, but that's not really, like that's more of a dream. It's not really a goal, because for it to be an actual goal, I would need to work and put things into place to actually achieve it. And right now I'm not doing that at all. I'm not mixing on a regular basis. I've never DJed live. So to have that kind of goal and then maybe be jealous or disappointed or jealous of other people playing at Liquicity makes absolutely no sense, because I'm not putting the effort, putting in the work to actually achieve that goal. And that's the same for music production. If for you, it's just a side hobby that you enjoy doing during the weekend, then there's really no point in comparing your sound to somebody for who it's their main source of income. So I think it's really important to always keep in mind what you're chasing, what you're goals are, put in place what you need to do to achieve those goals, and yeah, basically remain reasonable in terms of what you want to achieve and how much work you're putting in to achieve that. It's a very long-winded way of saying keep in mind what you're chasing. And I think that pretty much wraps up what I wanted to talk about. I don't want to drag this out too long, because I don't think too many people are gonna listen to this, to be honest. just me rambling on. But as I mentioned in the intro, it's just something I wanted to try, just speaking with you guys without any guest, and see how I manage. So yeah, do let me know how I did, because I need that ego boost. And yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Thanks a lot for 30 episodes. I'm not quite sure where time has gone when I look back at since September when I started, and we're 30 weeks later. So yeah, thanks to everyone tuning into the podcast so far, leaving comments, sharing the episode, sharing feedback, etc. It's really appreciated. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions, really appreciated. I'll try to do another one of these episodes maybe in another 6 months' time, as I learn new things and have new things to share. But I'll leave it at that for now. Thanks again for watching. Do join the Facebook group, Last Week Liquid Podcast Community, if you want to join in on the action. Check out my website, lastweekliquid.com, where you can check out all the previous episodes, check out my music, blog posts that I do there. And yeah, just share the podcast with whoever you think might enjoy it. And I will see you in the next episode. Bye.